I have no idea what Turner said about me. But I hope it was nice. I spent time with him last night. He has more energy than most of you young people have. I said to him, Turner, have you retired? He lied to me. He said, no, I'm not retired. But he's working full time for the church. You just don't have to pay him. That's pretty good. I bring you greetings from San Diego. It's a great privilege to be here. I think the church doesn't meet together that often, so it's a double privilege. Now, I'm teaching a class tonight. It's on looking at the book of Acts and considering its relationship with church history. Now, there are many very interesting stories in the book of Acts. But it's more than that. It's a bigger story. It's a larger story. It's a story of a movement that started very, very small. And in the end, it conquered the whole world. Think about the situation. Think about the original church. They were a Jewish culture. They were in the most insignificant part of the Roman Empire. Peasants. Living in the countryside. No education. They didn't know Greek. They didn't know Latin. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. By the way, before I get into my lessons, I want to give you a little invitation, a little advertisement. We have an apologetic certificate program. Started recently. For those of you who are really into Christian evidences, we have a 10-course program. Just let us know. We'll send you the material. At the end of the program, you get a certificate. So let us know. You'll find more information on my website. Now let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 8 together. So imagine you're one of the apostles. No education. Poor. You come from the hills. Jesus says, here's my vision for you. Says, you're going to reach out to the city of Jerusalem. Okay, I can see that. And all of Judea. All of Judea. And Samaria. Samaria, there are enemies. They hate us. In fact, you're going to go to the ends of the earth. What a scary vision. Really, what were the chances? Their worldview was completely different from the Greek worldview. In fact, the Jewish concept was completely opposite from the Greek thinking. And yet, 200 years later, they conquered the entire Roman Empire. How did they do that? I think their situation is like yours. We have 1.3 billion people in China, yes? Most of them know nothing of Jesus. What can 2,000 people do with 1.3 billion? But you have a much better opportunity than they had. And yet it happened. Jesus has a very scary vision for your life. I believe if they could do it, you could certainly do it. Imagine China 50 years from now. 150 years from now. A Christian nation, imagine that. What are the chances? Well, what are the chances that this small group could conquer the world? So I want to talk about some of the reasons this happened. We have a five-part outline. Technological problem. Let's go to Acts 5:38-39. Okay. The old fashioned technology. Problem is it's backward. I can't read it. We'll fix it. Okay. Acts So here, we're talking about the early church. And the Jewish rabbi says, if God is with him, you won't be able to stop him. I believe that applies to us as well. Do you believe that God is with you? Do you really believe that God is with you? Then nobody will be able to stop us. Now, I want to look at a five-part outline. The reasons that I believe the early church was able to conquer the entire Greek and Roman world in just a few generations. I have no idea what it says there. It's really hard. Is there any way?
One more slide.
Yeah, maybe. Is that the one? Is it? Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's good. I'm having to read Chinese backward. Very challenging for me. All right. Five-part outline. Let's keep going. Number one. It was Jesus. There's just something about people who spend time with Jesus. They were different. In the early church, when you met somebody who'd been around Jesus, they were different from everybody else. There's just something about the impact of Jesus on somebody's life. All along, this was a Jesus movement. And if we're going to revolutionize the world, if we're going to win China for Christ, we need to be a Jesus movement. Point number two is the truth claims. There's just something about having a leader who was raised from the dead. People could say what they wanted about Jesus, but there were thousands of people walking around. Jesus healed their diseases. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. the deaf to hear. And it was hard to deny that. It caught people's attention. I think in the very beginning of the church, it was the eyewitnesses. And it was the evidence of the miracles. That's what got the church started. But I believe that would not have been enough. Because as the church spread hundreds and even thousands of miles away, after two or three generations, there weren't so many eyewitnesses. And no longer were there people walking around who'd been raised from the dead. So, next slide. Here we go. Good. So, three more points here. The moral and ethical superiority of the church. Everybody knew. The Christians were different. I want to challenge you tonight that we need to be different from the world. It was no secret. Everybody knew it. The Christians were different. Number four. Intellectually, the church provided answers the world had no answer for. The world, they're like sheep without a shepherd. We have the answers they need. Number five, Christianity gave dignity not only to the educated and to the wealthy. But to the poor and the uneducated and the slaves and the foreigners. It was the first religion that was for everyone. And number six, because God was with them. So that's our outline. And let's go through each of those points. Point number one, knowing Jesus. There's just something about a person who spent time with Jesus. There are these Jesus people walking around. And in the first and second century, when you met somebody who was around Jesus, they were just different. A good example is in Acts chapter 4, where the Christians were called before the leaders. Let's read verse 12 and 13.
something about somebody who's been with Jesus.
I'm going to ask you something. Have you had a personal encounter with Jesus?
People will notice that.
We always need to be a Jesus church.
There's just something about being around Jesus.
If you see Jesus,
you will never be the same again.
Everybody knew it.
These people believed that Jesus was raised from the dead.
They were radical.
Radical.
People who know Jesus,
they're radical people.
You say to those people,
When there were times of persecution, the Christians came from hundreds of miles around so they could have the privilege of dying for Christ. Do you think that affected other people? Every time they killed a Christian, 10 more people would be converted. Have you been with Jesus? Think about Paul. Paul became all things to all men. Paul made himself a slave. He had the highest position. He was a Pharisee. He had a great education. He threw it all away. And he wandered around. He was beaten. Shipwrecked. He'd been with Jesus. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Have you met Jesus on the road to Kowloon? We need to focus on Jesus. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Acts 9, verse 1 through 16. We won't read that. That's the story of Paul meeting Jesus. We need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. If you as a church here in Hong Kong, if you know Jesus, you would die for Christ. You would give up all the riches. Nobody would scare you. They would say, stop preaching Jesus or we'll fire you. You'd say, go for it. Amen.
Amen.
They say, we're going to throw you in prison. You say, we have a captive audience. Captive audience. You couldn't scare these Christians. They knew Jesus. You need to be a Jesus ministry here in Hong Kong. Point number two. Powerful truth claims. It died again. What's that one say?
According to the Old Testament.
Yeah, okay, good. You know, it was almost not even fair. The Christians had a big advantage. I mean, there were schools of philosophy. There were the followers of Plato. Plato. The followers of Epicurus. But the followers of Jesus, they had a big advantage. When they killed him, he raised from the dead. And there were thousands of people. They saw it. Jesus worked public miracles. You could say, I don't really believe in this guy. Say, well, do you know about this person? He is blind and now he could see. I mean, if you read the sermons in the book of Acts, the outline was something like this. This guy Jesus of Nazareth, he fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures. He's the Messiah. And he worked many miracles. And people said, oh, I don't believe that. They say, you're crazy. Everybody knows he worked miracles. There were eyewitnesses walking around. Thousands of people. Their diseases were healed. So point number two of the outline was, Jesus worked miracles like everybody knows. Therefore he's Lord. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Repent and be baptized. That was kind of nice. Christ having a risen Lord? I mean, we believe in Jesus who was raised from the dead. I really love teaching about the resurrection. When I travel around the world, they don't usually ask me to talk about the resurrection. But I never get tired of talking about the resurrection. It's a powerful thing. You know, in the Old Testament, it said many things about the Messiah. It said he would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It said he would come from Galilee. Jesus came from Galilee.
I wish I could read those. Oh, good.
It said that he would be despised and rejected. Jesus was despised and rejected. It said that he would be pierced. Jesus was pierced. In Psalms 22, it said that he would be crucified. Jesus was crucified. It also says in Psalms 22 that his garments would be divided up. Jesus' garments were divided up. It said in Zechariah he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. It said in Daniel that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem in about AD 30. And Jesus showed up just on time. There was great evidence. And there's just something about having great evidence. Don't be intimidated. People laugh at Christianity. But the one who started our movement, they killed him. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. That was part of the message. Every single sermon you read in the book of Acts, they talk about the miracles. They talk about the resurrection. They talk about the fulfilled prophecies. In Acts and 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said that it was foretold the Messiah would be killed. And that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And he said he appeared to over 500 witnesses. He said, if you don't believe it, just go talk to one of them. Powerful eyewitnesses. This is why the church was launched. But you know, two or three generations later, the eyewitnesses weren't there anymore. Of course, they still had the testimony of the scriptures. The people who met Jesus personally, they were dead. And yet the church grew even faster. I want to talk about some reasons for that. Point number three. Their moral and ethical superiority. The church was different. The church wasn't like the world. They had a radical lifestyle. Everything the world says is important, they said, we don't care about those things at all. The things the world said was unimportant, that's what they took pride in. Do you want to have a vision to win China for Christ? Yeah? Are you willing to be different? I'm afraid we don't want to be different from the world. The church had a radical lifestyle. They weren't weird. They lived similar lives in some ways. They spoke the same language. They wore the same clothes. They had the same jobs. But when it came to morality and ethics, they were totally different. In Acts 17, verse 5 through 9, it says, they turned the world upside down. When the Christians moved into a city, the city was never the same again. Acts 19, 17 through 20. You have notes, so we won't read all these passages. They confronted the world. The world had witchcraft. It had things going on in shrines and idols. When Christianity came, the idol business, they didn't sell so many idols anymore. The prostitution business lost a lot of business. Because the church confronted those things. They lived radical lives. They didn't take part in the pagan ceremonies. They didn't go to the theater. They didn't take part in the celebrations. You know, they had a bit of an advantage. The church didn't have so many competitions. Because there's other like Christian groups in Hong Kong, are there not? We need to stick out. We need to have a radical lifestyle. One of the statements that one of the early fathers in the church said, for us in the church, every foreign country is like a fatherland. And every fatherland is like a foreign country. I'm not an American. I'm a Christian. You're not Chinese. You're a Christian. Your home country is not this world. If you're a Christian, your home is in heaven. We need to stop living like this is our home. Our goal is not to have a great career. Our goal is not to have a nice house. Our home is in heaven. They can take our job. We say, big deal. That's not about a job. They can take our career. Doesn't bother us at all. Another quote I like about the early church, and I think it applies to us. To the world, we are very strange. We don't live in adultery. We don't get drunk. We don't get involved in bribery. We don't lie. We don't steal. We live honest lives. It says their peculiarity, it's not strange clothes. It's not that they don't use technology. Their strangeness is that they embrace an ethic the world considers nonsense. What does the world value? Money. Success. Those have no value to us. Early church had a radical lifestyle. The Greeks had some similar ideas. They had this idea of what a perfect person be like. What a really ethical person would be like. But they thought nobody could really live like that. They thought only the philosopher could live that way. Only the highly educated person who devoted his whole life. Only they could strive to this ideal to be like this ideal person. But there was this strange group. These Christians. Uneducated. They're in the lowest position. But they lived like a philosopher. Like true philosophers. Nobody could deny it. We need to be willing to be different. One of the famous Roman orators, his name was Galen. A famous philosopher and physician. He said about the church, he said that their teaching of rewards and punishments, it led to a lifestyle not inferior to those of real philosophers. He said, it's very strange. These common people have great restraint in living with one another. And in matters of food and drink, they have a deep pursuit of social justice. And they have no fear of death. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew the Christians were different. What a great testimony. See, everybody in Hong Kong should know about the Hong Kong Church of Christ. Because we're different. Everything the world holds as important, we think that's not important at all. To us, what's important is humility and service and giving our lives, sacrifice. The vision in the early church, it scared people. There was a riot. You heard about that riot in Ephesus, yes? That's where the riot happened. Because, see, when they came in, all those idols couldn't sell any idols anymore. They turned the world upside down. We need to dare to be different. Point number four. On an intellectual level. See, the church has the answers. You live in a basically pagan country. Taoism, Buddhism, Feng Shui, every kind of philosophy, Confucianism, a lot of confusion, yes? That pun only works in English, sorry. Sorry. And there's a lot of confusion. People are looking for answers. Christianity provides the answer. The only answer. You shouldn't be intimidated at all. Don't be intimidated by atheists. Don't be intimidated by postmodernists. They think they're so smart. They laugh at Christianity. All those Christians, they just believe in myths and legends. Ones who have the answer. You know, in the second and third century, the philosophers confronted their church teachers. Like Origen and Clement of Alexandria. And Christian theology won over Greek religion. Because they offered the right answers to the questions. What are the questions that really people want answered? You know, I think a lot of the things the world has to offer, they've stolen from the Christian worldview. Why was slavery eliminated from the world? Because of the influence of Christianity. Why do we have science? If it were not for the Christian teaching, we would not have science. The idea of human rights, that was taken from Christianity. The idea of women's rights, that came from Christianity. Everything the world values as good came from Christianity. I'm not exaggerating. I really like Acts chapter 17. Here Paul is confronting the Greek worldview with the Christian worldview. His opponents were the Stoics and the Epicureans. They thought they were so smart. They thought, how could some Jewish guy, how could they have anything to offer? And yet Paul won a powerful victory there in Athens. The seat of all wisdom and all knowledge. Let's read a little bit in Acts chapter 17. Verse 17. See, Paul reasoned with them. He said, I want to compare your philosophy with Christian philosophy. He said, the God that you believe in is very distant and not involved. He said, the God that I believe in, in Him we live and move and have our being. And He has a plan for all of us. He's not far off. He's close by. See, the Hindu has a picture of God who's not personal. To the Buddhist, God is some abstract concept. It's not real. The God we believe in is a personal God who loves us, who wants to come close to us. Oh, the God of Christianity is so much better than the other gods. We need to be confident. When we're on campus, we're on the job, we need to compare the Buddhist worldview to the Christian worldview. This one's off. It's okay. How do we get it back?
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. So I want to think a little bit about what I mean by a worldview. A worldview is a set of assumptions that we use to think about how the world works. So what Paul does in Acts chapter 17, he compares their worldview to the Christian worldview. Okay, if I had that, that'd be really good.
Can you see open? Two. One full screen. Sometimes. How many have full screen? Eight.
I could get my version, that my English version, from my computer. I can't see that.
How you know?
Let's just go ahead. Let's start in verse
24. Chapter 17, verse 24. Right?
Yeah.
Stop. Chapter 24. Sorry.
But I really need that so I can keep going. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. 17:24, he says, 创造宇宙和其中万物的神，既是天地的主，就不是人手所做的事。24-28，天也不用人手服侍，保障血少什么，自己倒将生命气息万物赐给万人。他从一本做足万族的人，住在全地上，并且预先定准他目的殿下和所住的疆界，要他活寻求神，或者可以揣摩而得。
So Paul's confronting them. And he says, God who made the Lord, the heaven and earth, he doesn't live in temples. And the Epicureans and the Stoics say, oh, we agree with that. He found common ground. There are some things we can discuss with the Buddhists or the Taoists. We could establish common ground. But then he went beyond. He said, the God that I want to talk about is very different. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even quoted their philosophers. I think we need to know Buddhism better than the Buddhists. We need to know Taoism better than Taoists. And then we need to show them that God is much greater. Oh man. I sure wish I could. Oh, it's better, I guess. Okay. See, I want to describe three properties for a good worldview. A good worldview is one that is true. Because if we believe in something that's not true, that's not very good. A good worldview is one that answers the questions that people really care about. And a good worldview is one that makes us better than we would be otherwise. And I believe if we compare Christianity to Buddhism or Islam or postmodernism or scientific materialism or any of the other isms, it wins on every ground. That's what happened in the second and third century. Because Christianity has the truth. For example, in Hinduism, it says the world is not real. But the Bible says the world is real. I think the Bible is right. Yeah, the world is real. The Greek philosophy said the physical world is evil. The Bible says the physical world is good. I agree with the Bible. Creation is good. In Hinduism, it says the physical world is not real. But that's not true. The physical world is real. And postmodernism says there's no truth. All truth depends on your opinion about it. That's not true. The Christian philosophy is much better than that. And Christianity answers the questions that people really care about. Now, I'm a science professor. I teach a class on the science of philosophy. I mean, the philosophy of science. I say, science is pretty good. It answers some questions. And this is questions like, when did it happen? How many? Where? But nobody cares about those questions. Science can't answer the questions that people care about. Why am I here? What's my purpose? What's our purpose according to Hinduism? Our purpose is to no longer exist. That's not a very good purpose. What's our purpose according to Buddhism? To stop having emotions. To stop having feelings. That's not a very good purpose. According to atheism, what's my value? Maybe 20 Hong Kong dollars. Little calcium, little carbon, little bit of iron. According to the Christian worldview, what's my value? You are more valuable than the entire universe. Christianity gives dignity to every individual. Not based on money, not based on looks, because God loved us enough to send His only Son. See, Christianity gives the answers that everybody's looking for. What's my purpose? Well, how valuable am I? What about the question of evil? According to Buddhism, evil is not real. I say evil is real. Well, why is there evil? The reason there is evil is because God loves us. I'm serious. Why are we here? Because God loves us. And He wanted to have a relationship with us. He wanted us to love Him. So He gave us a choice. What did we do to that choice? We rebelled. We did evil. Creation is good. Everything God created is good. Why is there evil? Because we rejected a relationship with God. Christianity provides the answers. The other religions, their answers don't really work. They don't make sense. They don't satisfy. The purpose in Buddhism is to remove yourself from the world. To lose yourself. The purpose of Christianity is to find yourself in a relationship with God. Much better. And another thing, the best worldview is one that makes people better than they otherwise would have been. I believe Christianity more than any other religion in the world has changed the world for better. Okay, the hard questions. Why is there suffering? According to Hinduism and Buddhism, suffering isn't real. No wonder Christian groups do most of the benevolent work in Buddhist and Hindu countries. Because we believe suffering is real. We believe in compassion. Buddha taught no passion. We teach compassion. The Christian worldview is much better. The Christian worldview explains about justice. It says there will be justice. That evil cannot get by. It solves the problem of sin. And even the problem of death. Because in Christianity, death has no victory. So Paul confronted the Greek worldview. He said, God created everything. According to Hinduism, everything is God. And you're God. We're all God. I say that's not true. I'm not God. And you're not God. According to Hinduism, the world was not created. But the problem with that is, science tells us the universe was created. Even from a scientific perspective, only Christian cosmology agrees with science. We should not be intimidated by the religions in China, by the philosophy in China, because the Christian philosophy is so much better. Islam as well. Because in Islam, God is very distant. And God is unknowable. But we preach a God who's close. A God who wants to be known by us. In Islam, God doesn't really care. It's all a matter of fate. But Jesus says, He set the time and the place so that we could know Him. That's what Paul preached. Now, when Paul gets to the end of his sermon, in Acts 17, who had he not mentioned yet? He hadn't even mentioned Jesus yet. He's just getting started. Says, now I want to tell you about Jesus. He was raised from the dead. God made himself known in Jesus Christ. So here's how I suggest we reach out. We need to find common ground. Even with the Buddhists or the postmodernists. We have things in common. We have values that we agree on. But we need to point out the Christian idea is so much better. That's what happened in the second and third century. People looked at Plato, the Stoics, the Epicureans. The Christian church provided the answers people were seeking. And they won the world. I have to skip a lot of slides here. A lot of stuff I can't cover. Alright. You know, there are many religions in the world. In every other religion, we crawl and scratch to try to reach towards God. Through our own effort, we work to become like God. Christianity is different. In Christianity, God reached down to know us. The creator of the universe wants a personal relationship with us. We need to share that message. Okay, point number five. Okay, good. A lot of stuff here I'm going to skip. Many slides. Alright, good. The church met the needs that the world couldn't meet. See, all the other religions, they're mainly for the wealthy people. For the people who had time.
Who had time?
Time. To meditate. They were the people who were successful. And that was the case in Roman Greece. They were very philosophical. But their religion was not for the common people. They couldn't understand this strange religion. Because the leaders in the church, they came from the poor people. They thought, how could a poor person do that? The first hospitals ever in the world were established by the Christian church. They cared about the poor people. They offered an equal hope to the rich and to the poor. To the educated and to the uneducated. They gave equal dignity to the slave and to the slave master. They offered compassion. This separated the church from all the other religions. I visited India a number of times. And most of the benevolent work is being done by Christian groups. That's true in Buddhist countries as well. Because the Christian worldview gives equal dignity to the poor and to the rich. We need to not be like the world. We need to treat the maid and the servant and the foreign worker with the same dignity as the educated and the engineer. What the world thinks is important, we think that's not important. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 15 through 16. I really love this passage. He says, what makes you a king? Is it having fine wood in your house? Says, if you want to be a king, in God's eyes, you need to defend the poor and the needy. That's what it means to know me. Christianity is different. We give honor to the poor. What the world thinks is important, we don't value those things. We give dignity to the lowest person. I'm really fired up about what the campus group is doing today and tomorrow. That's a great example. You know, in the early church, they were different. In Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45, it says all the needs were met. They held everything in common. In the church, the rich and the poor, they sit together. In America, black, white, Asian, Arab, rich, poor, Mexican, American, we all sit together. We have the same fellowship in common. I remember when I went to South Africa, they said when the church started, in Johannesburg, if you saw a white man talking to a black man in public, you could walk up to them and say, hey brother, because only in the church, only in the church would a white man talk with a black man in public. We're different. And James 1:27 says, this is the religion that God honors. Don't be polluted by the world. Take care of the widows and the orphans. I think in Hong Kong, maybe it's the old people that live lonely. Maybe that's who should take care of. I don't know. We need to have a ministry of compassion. And the church was known for this. There was an emperor, his name was Julian. And he noted about the early church. He said this. You can read that. How are we going to win the world for Christ? We need to be like a city on a hill. We need to shine forth Jesus Christ. That's what our brothers and sisters did in the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century. Remember that little group? Only about 40. Peasants. No education. No political power. They didn't even speak the right language. They didn't have the right culture. But Jesus said, within just a few years, you're going to turn the world upside down. They did that. And Julian noticed this about them. He said, these Christians, they're very different. None of them is a beggar. All their needs are met. Not only that, but they take care of us. It's a little bit embarrassing. You know, we should embarrass the world by our love and service. Everybody in Hong Kong should know about the Hong Kong Christian Church. Because you serve the poor. I think the poor are hidden in this city. I see people walking by, they don't even notice they exist. We need to smile at them. We need to treat them with dignity. We need to give them opportunities. I don't know what programs they need. It's your city. It's your culture. I don't know. An interesting story. This is in the 3rd century in Alexandria. A massive plague hit the city. The pagans feared death. We Christians, we have no fear of death. What the pagans would do, when someone in their family got the plague, they literally threw them out in the street. The Christians would come by with a cart. They pick up the pagans. They brought them to their churches. They nursed them to health. Many Christians died serving the pagans. But interesting, by the end of the plague, the church was growing. Because they were a city on the hill. Everybody knew it. They were like the world. They had compassion. They gave their lives. Let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. I want to plant a vision in you. It's a scary vision though. If you catch this vision, the non-Christians, they're going to be afraid of you. They're going to think, what happened to that person? The vision is, you're going to be different. You're going to have an ethic that the world thinks is crazy. You're going to love the things the world hates. You're going to hate the things the world loves. You're going to be like a little Jesus. Let's read Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. Even this Pharisee was wise enough to know that if God is with us, nothing will be able to stop us. Are you willing to confront Jesus? Because if we're going to win the world, we need to be a Jesus people. We need to meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. We need to have a personal confrontation with Jesus. We need to be a Jesus people. If we're going to win the world, we need to tell them, confront them with the evidence. Confucius? He's been dead for 2,400 years. Buddha? Nice guy. But he's dead. He's dead. And his body rotted. Our religious leader, he is raised from the dead. How do we know this? Hundreds of eyewitnesses. The evidence proves it. He fulfilled the prophecies that were written hundreds of years beforehand. He raised the dead. Did Buddha raise the dead? No. See, we have great truth claims. We have a radical lifestyle. We're like aliens. This world is not our home. You can take everything the world values away from us. We still have everything that matters. We have a relationship with God. We have a relationship with each other. We have the true riches. Our treasure is in heaven. I want to challenge you. Are you willing to be radically different? If you are, some people might be mad at you. The church, they were different. And they won the world. They had a truth. They had the answers. We should not be intimidated. We have the answers the world's religions cannot provide. Buddhist philosophy does not answer the questions people really want to ask. We have the answers. We offer dignity. We offer love with the creator of the universe. We offer compassion. You need to be known as a church that's going to serve. And like I said, within 200 or 300 years, this tiny movement, 40 people, they overcame the world. The whole Roman and Greek world. was conquered for Christ. I believe it could happen again. I believe we could win China and the whole world for Jesus Christ. Because if God is for us, no one can be against us. Thank you very much for the chance to speak with you. Good job, man.
因為這個會場是預約到11點的，所以大家不需要趕著走的，OK?